Tonight, if you got your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 2, kind of be a key verse tonight, Romans chapter number 2, and then we'll travel in other places. Now, I do want you to get your chart out. It's real important that you have your chart, because I'll be following your chart. Romans chapter 2, verse 15, are you there? Last Wednesday night, we started a series on seven dispensations. I'm preaching on dispensationalism for several reasons. Number one, I'm preaching on dispensationalism because of the era of hyper-dispensationalists. They're in era. Anybody that teaches the four commissions is in era. Somebody say amen. And I want you to know, anybody that believes in post-millennialism is in era. And post-tribulation. Can I tell you something? That's one of the reasons I don't even eat post-toasties because of that. Hey, mate! Another thing we're going to deal with is this covenant theology crowd. Covenant theology is this. All the promises of Israel is fulfilled in the church. And there ain't going to be no tribulation or rapture or millennial. Jesus is just going to come back and that's it. And the book of Revelations is irreverent. Jeff Meadows, that's a lie. And by the way, the revelator said anybody that adds to this book or takes from this book is in danger to losing their part in the last book of life. I like it when I get a little riled up. Maybe my cholesterol go through real good and I won't get short of breath and do real good tonight. Okay, amen. Last week we spoke about innocence. And I won't go long on that. I'm just going to mention it. Let me read this verse in verse 15. Verse Romans 2:15. Are you there? We show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their hearts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. The second dispensation is the dispensation of conscience. In the first dispensation, in innocence, man was not conscious of sin. Now, I want to say something. Look at your chart. I want you to see something here. Every one of these dispensations starts with an opening event, such as innocence and the creation of man. And then it always has man's responsibility to obey and believe. And then man's failure in the dispensation of innocence was lost. And man's tendency is all like a sheep have gone astray. We're away from God. How many believe this country's away from God? A lot of churches are away from God. A lot of Christians are away from God. And we need to get back to God. The closing bit, which actually was an act of mercy, was God expelling Adam and Eve from the garden, putting two cherubs up so they couldn't eat of the tree of life. If they had ate of the tree of life, they would have been eternally in a lost state. But thank God, by the way, listen to this. Boy, this is a biggie. This big, write down in your notes, biggie. Biggie. The last part in that chart. In every dispensation, every one, it was by grace through faith. Amen. Always faith. Old Testament, look toward the cross. New Testament, look back to the cross. Amen. But I want you to know there's not a man, woman, or boy and girl going to heaven outside them being washed in the blood of Christ. I'll even tell you this, the Old Testament saints weren't even allowed to go to heaven until after Jesus shed his blood for them, and then they leapt out of Abraham's bosom and went into the holy city. Somebody help me preach right there. All right. Is that good preaching? Is that all right? Let's go to the second one. Acts review, and but let's go to conscience. The opening event in conscience is Abel offering a lamb. And Cain murders his brother Abel. That's the opening event. Man became conscious of his sin. And being conscious of his sin, he had to bring. And by the way, how many of y'all believe like I believe? The only way those boys knew to bring a sacrifice, their mom and dad must have told them to. And it's obvious the only one that listened to mom and dad was Abel. And I want you to know something. I hope I don't bog down, but I probably will. I want y'all to know something. Look at me tonight. That's actually just two kinds of religion. They just two. A religion of works or a religion of grace. A religion of works, keeping the law, being good. And by the way, if you're in that dispensational crowd that believes that people kept the law and they got saved by keeping the law, somebody laid you on your head when you was a baby, your brain fell out, because whosoever keeps the whole law but offended at one point is guilty of it all. Hey, no man ever kept the law and he never will keep the law. And we'll get to that more later. The day they gave the law, they were down over the hill worshiping an idol. You can't keep the law. You can't be good enough to be saved. You cannot be righteous enough to be saved. And the opening event of the conscience was Abel offered a lamb. And Cain, out of jealousy, murdered his brother. But I want to give y'all some happy thought. The book of Hebrews says that Abel's blood cries from the grave. You know what I think it cries? Lois, I believe he had the title before you got it. It cries, it's still the blood. It always has been and always will be by the blood of Jesus Christ that you are forgiven from your sin. Let's look at the second thing in your chart. And that's man's responsibility. Man's responsibility is the same as it was in the first. And that's believe and obey. By faith, the Bible said that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Somebody help me preach right there. I want you to know something tonight. Church, Christian, God wants you to do two things. He wants you to believe and He wants you to obey. He wants you to believe what is said about Him in salvation, and He wants you to obey the Word of God and have some standards and live right, not because you are, not to get saved, but because you are saved. Now, let me, so I can slow down just a tad. Conscience, the found in your Bible, is from Genesis 3. Through Genesis 12. That's the time period. Now, look at Genesis 6, 5 through 7. Just go over for a moment. 6, 5 through 12. I'm trying my best to pace myself because I know what I'm going to do at the end of this thing, and I'm about to shout, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to teach this first. Are y'all there? Genesis, what did I tell y'all? 6, 5 through 7. If you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now, first of all, God didn't say he's made a mistake. God, the word repent there, God was sorry for what man had become. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I'll tell you what man become. His conscience got defiled. I'm going to make a statement here. Y'all need to hear this. How many's ever heard this? Well, you need to follow your conscience. you do, you're going to be in defilement. The era of our age is some people's conscience has been seared with a hot iron. You said, "Ah, Preacher Smith, I just follow my conscience." Last time I heard, the church is supposed to follow the Holy Ghost. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Since when did it say follow your conscience? Since when did it say let your conscience be your guide? Chad, you know what the problem is? We don't have enough believers that are following God. Hey, I'm not going to follow my conscience. I want you to know something. I'll get derailed. Because our conscience is like this. If it feels good, do it. And it believes in situational ethics. And it'll make excuses for everything. And I might as well say this. There's some of you, you keep using gray areas. Nah, I think it's black and white. Sin is still sin. Wrong is still wrong. Defilement is still defilement. I'm doing good on time, okay? What happened to man? He got away from God. Look on in chapter 6. Verses 11 through 13. Are y'all there? The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh has corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Lord God, excuse me. Did I say that right? Yes, I did. Ladies and gentlemen, let me quote a verse. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. We're living in a corrupt society. There's a group of believers, you know, that post-tribulation crowd. They believe we're going to get better and better and better. And then, the Lord will come. That's absolutely ridiculous. We're getting corrupter and corrupter and corrupter. We're living in a messed up nation. There'll be groups show up and I want you to know this makes me mad on purpose. I don't think you have a right to lay a hand on a policeman. Amen. They might be a small percentage of them are bad. But the fast 99.9% of them are good. And we wouldn't have a civil society without them. And I don't care what Black Lives Matter or any other matter and any other liberal, what is that, Wall Street crowd. I don't care about them and a bunch of pinko liberal socialists, Bernie Sanders crowd. I don't believe in them either. You said, I'm one of them. And there's some of you say you're libertarian and I don't even believe in you either. Oh, you are a libertarian for, so you can be for homosexuality and for abortion and someone's help me now and against government. And by the way, before you get off next week, we're going to talk about human government. And by the way, God created it. I can't help but run amok. I know I can't help we're a mess. Yes, government needs to be changed, but it does not need to be done away with because it was decreed by Almighty God. I am, Joe. I'm just trying to not get ahead of myself here. How did this whole thing end? How does it all end? What's the closing event of conscience? The worldwide flood. And I'll talk about that in a moment. I want you all to know. Hey, Brother Mills, you here? Mills was here. Hey, Mills, tell him there was a worldwide flood. It wasn't a local flood. It was a flood that covered the whole earth. And by the way, there was a man named Noah. And he did find grace in the Lord. And his three boys and their wives and his wife was the only eight that got saved. Somebody help me preach right there. And God wiped out all civilization. I want you to know something. God's going to do it again. He's going to wipe them out again. But he ain't going to do it with water. He's going to do it with fire. You said, how do you know that? Well, because God sent a rainbow over after the flood and said, that means I'm not judging this world by water anymore. But I will. And by the way, I'm going to time out. The world can't end today anyway. Some fruitcake came to church the other day. I don't know if he was a Mormon or whoever it was. Some nut head. He said, repent! I said, that's Baptist preaching. He said, the world will end today, maybe. And I brought him, I said, knucklehead. I said, if the Lord come at the rapture, it can't end for 1,007 years, and I think it may be 1,000 and a little bit more than 7. Is that good preaching right there? You know why people don't believe that kind of preaching anymore, Lois? And they're post-trib and all-millennial, and they don't believe premillennialism and pre-rapture. You know why they don't believe that? Because they don't believe in the dispensations anymore. I'm preaching, man. You say, well, I don't even know what dispensations were until you start talking. That's why I'm preaching on this tonight. You need to know what the Word of God is. How many of y'all want to know what the big plan of God is? How many of y'all want to be included in that big plan? And you want to get it right? Whew. Amen. God judged that world with a worldwide flood. And some of the changes you see on this planet happened because of the worldwide flood. But I want y'all to know something, ladies and gentlemen. I poked this Wednesday night. I'll poke it one more time. It didn't happen because there was a gap between Genesis 1 and 1-2. And that's where demons come from, or devils, or whatever you want. That's a lie. And there was no pre-Adamic race. And the gap theory is false. And Eve is the mother of all living, and you better get that right. And why do we try to explain away evolution when the Bible said God created it in 6 days? And I want you to know, we need to stick to the truth. You said, but I got a Bible that's got notes in it. Them notes are not inspired of God. Only the book is inspired of God. And I got the same Bible you do. Like most of it, but not all of it. Wait a minute. Hey now. I'm a little radical, but I'm practical. Now let me give you something. Stay with me. What did I say at the beginning of this thing? And I'm finishing here with a happy note. How did people get saved in the age of conscience? Thank you, class. Well, do me a favor. Look at Genesis 6 and 8. Will y'all do me a favor? How many's got your King James Bible? Now, if you got some other kind, it ain't going to read right. If you got a King James Bible, will you read this with me? But Noah? Oh, well, God, that's weak. Genesis 6, 8. But Noah? No, he found works. No, he found religion. No, he found a restoration. No, he found grace. Hold a minute, stay with me. Now turn with me. Who's the two people I've mentioned so far, Lois, that got saved during this age of conscience? Abel. And who? Noah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Stay with me. Man, I love this. I've got so many sermons in my Bible. I'm glad I got sermons. If some of these liberals can't even find a sermon. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? I'm getting there. Okay. Hebrews 11, verse 4 through 7. Who was them two people I mentioned? And there's another one mentioned here too. By faith, who? Offered unto God a more what? Now hold on a minute. How did he offer it, Lois? By faith. How did he offer it? Didn't he? By faith. I say to you, the Old Testament saint Abel was looking toward the cross and offered a sacrifice of blood and done it by faith. Let's go on. Look at verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligent seeking. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Some of y'all better get your eyes open. Christ is coming. Move with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By the which he condemned the world. And became the heir of righteousness, which is by what? Then why are some of y'all trying to get in any some other way? Now, I got a lot of notes tonight. Now, what did Noah build? By the way, if you want to see a life size version, it's not completely done, but almost. You can go to Kentucky, and they got one down there. I'm going to go down there one of these days. I caught the gospel in the ship. But let's look at this. Can I give you a last? I'm closing. But I got to prove to you, in every one of these dispensations, it's grace through faith. It's grace through faith. It's grace through faith. It's grace through faith. First of all, the plan of the ark. Go back to Genesis 6 and 14. If you're there, say amen. God said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now, who told Noah to do that? I tell you what, I believe salvation comes by a revelation of God. How many knows this verse? Who do men say that I am? Some say thou art Elias, John the Baptist. But who do you say that I am? Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, Simon, Peter, flesh and blood had not revealed that to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, revealed that unto you. The ark was revealed to Noah for the saving of his family. Jesus Christ was revealed to me for the saving of my soul. Lord have mercy. That's what I say, George. The plan for the ark. Verse 14 said, make it out of gopher wood. You know what gopher wood's a type of? It's the type of humanity. The life cycle of a tree to build the ark had to be cut down. A tree had to be cut down. To provide the way of salvation, the man Jesus had to be cut down and hanged on a tree. Oh, here's where I'm really going to shout. Verse 14 also says, and put some pitch on it. Here's what Noah done. Dear God. He got the gopher wood, which speaks of humanity. And the pitch comes from the Hebrew word tophar, which where we get our word, atonement. And he pitched it on the outside, and he pitched it on the inside. You say, why? So there ain't nothing from the outside could get in, and nothing on the inside could get out. Let me. That's big. That's real big. Can I tell you, there ain't a dart of the devil can throw, can get into my soul where I've been saved. But I hear this bunch. By the way, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father that gave them is greater than I. And I and my Father are what?
One.
Then I got a knucklehead crowd that says, well, no, ain't nothing getting in, but you can just leave. No, you can't leave. You may quit church. You may quit trying to live for God. But you can't quit being saved. Ain't happening. Devil can't get in, and you can't get out. So why not, instead of enduring it, start enjoying it. Lord, give me some more preaching and strength here. Y'all pray. I need just a little bit more. I'm about to get happy here. By the way, that thing had some rooms in it. By the way, those rooms, you know what the literal word means? Really means nest or a place of rest. I want you to know Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. There is no peace with God outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll give you this just real quick. That thing was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, 1,518,750 cubic feet, or approximately 45 times the size of this building and more, of the floor space, or equivalent to 25 basketball courts. It's estimated that 35,000 known species could fit into 150 boxcars. The ark was the size of 530 boxcars. And by the way, there's still room there for you. All right, let me go on. Man, oh man. Everybody's having a good time tonight. I am. By the way, number three, it spoke of access. Look, Genesis 6:16. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Hold on. When you look up, you're not supposed to look out for salvation. You're supposed to look up. How many of y'all noticed something? Can I ask you if you noticed the window had dimensions? What were the dimensions of the door? What were they, Chad? Well, come on! Grant, what were they? Huh? Did it say it? Did it say it? Well, you knew it had dimensions, those, but it didn't say it. That means that anybody can come. That's a whosoever will door. Tell that bunch of hyper-Calvinist tulip suckers that it's one way to go to heaven. Anybody believes in a flower religion is a sucker. Hello? Don't turn your computer off. I'm preaching to you. How many still with me? The provision of the ark. The promise. 6:18. God made a covenant. He always keeps his word. How many believe God keeps his word? See, God said, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There ain't no use for any of y'all to doubt. Remember what I was preaching on this morning? The devil will attack you at your foundation of salvation to cause you doubt. And if he makes you doubt, then you can't be of no use for anything else. But God keeps his covenant. How many have been saved for a while? Raise your hand. How many have been saved? Let's do this. Let's just, how many have been saved for 50 years or more? How many have been saved for 40? 30? 20? 15? 10? 5? Or less than 5? He promised you when you got saved, you're going to stay saved. Then the preservation of the ark. It preserved human life. I'm glad for the doctrine of the preservation of the saints. Calvinists believe in the perseverance. Only way a Calvinist can really know he's saved is he has to persevere. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm preserved. Ain't nothing going to spoil me either, buddy. I've been washed in the blood. I'm preserved to the day of redemption. Oh, man. For you animal lovers. He's going to help the animal life too. This is for Ruth Ann Withrow. She here tonight? She's home taking care of her dog? Okay. You know what? The whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the Son of God. One of these days, we're going to be living in a millennial kingdom. And I know they're saying I'm spiritualizing. But a little kid will be able to lay down and put his head in a lion's mouth. Because creation and animals will be subdued under the power of God and changed. Whew. Can't hardly stand myself when I get this happy. I'm done. The performance of the ark. 7:18 through 21, it rose safely. The world beneath it perished. But the ark rose safely above us judgment. And I say here, the old ship is high, still sailing. Yes. And it rested. Boy, can I read my notes here? Can I? How many give me permission? Because I do not want to miss this. I want you to hear this. Hey, Jeff, if y'all don't shout on this, there ain't no shout in you right here. In chapter 8 and verse 4, it rested. The time was the 17th day of the 7th month. Exactly 3 days after the Passover was to be killed. Exodus 12:6. The 7th month in the Jewish calendar becomes the 1st month under the Jewish calendar. Therefore the ark rested on the same day that Jesus would hundreds of years later walk out of the tomb on the 14th day of that month and come out, or go into the tomb the 14th day of the month and come out of the grave on the 17th day of the month. Woo! One of these days my journey's going to end. I'm going to go to glory. Well, if I die, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. If I'm living, I won't see death, and I'm going to be raptured, and I'm going to live with Jesus. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm done. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you died today, how many of you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand. Hold them up high. If you don't hold them. Don't know, don't hold them. Hold them. Thank you. I mean, right now, can't you say that for sure? You're not sure you go to heaven. Just raise your hand right now and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Church, over and over says, living by faith. That's what you need to do tonight. How many of you tonight, the devil's been attacking you at your foundation, trying to make you even doubt your salvation? But you want to live by faith and believe the promises. Raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Beating on you, isn't he? I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you ought to come up and pray. Father, touch the invitation. Thank you for the preaching and the liberty. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand. Stand. Come on, if you need some prayer. Hey, will y'all sing that? And if you're really looking for it, wave your hand at Jesus. Worship him.
Upon his face, the one who
saved me by his grace.
When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Thank you.